Going to take our lesson tonight from 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, and in verse 16. In just a moment, we want to read verses 14 through 16 in the context. We had that reading just a few moments ago, but I want us to note as we read again that Peter, in this particular text in which we're going to read, among other things, tells us that people might understand salvation when they come to understand the Scriptures. In 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord," note this, "is salvation. As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures." Peter tells us that the Scriptures were written, among other things, that people might understand salvation. But he tells us as well that the Scriptures are hard to understand, especially some of those whom that Paul had written. Now think about this. Peter says that the Scriptures are hard to understand. He says, speaking in them of these things in which some things are hard to understand. Now this, Peter says, after some time had taken place, since this was mentioned in Acts chapter 8 and in verse 30 and following. "And Philip ran to him," that is to the Ethiopian eunuch, "and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, 'Do you understand what you're reading?' And he said, 'How can I unless someone guide me?'" Do you understand what you're reading? So that took place a long time before Peter wrote this in 2 Peter 3 and in verse 16, that there's some things in the Scriptures that are hard to understand. Also, this took place a good while after Paul had spoken this, and it had been recorded in Ephesians 3 and in verse 4. "How that by revelation he," that is God, "made known to me," Paul said, "the mystery, as I've briefly written already, by which when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." So there's some things that are hard to understand, but when you read, you can understand. I thought it'd be good for us to study tonight, since we're going to be studying through this particular chapter of 2 Peter, beginning next Lord's Day morning. I thought it'd be good if we studied some things involved in understanding the Scriptures. Understanding the Scriptures. Because understanding the Scriptures is not always easy. I know that because that's what Peter tells us. There are some things in the Scriptures that are simply hard to understand. The eunuch didn't understand what he was reading. Do you understand what you're reading? How can I let someone guide me? The ideal of guiding one and understanding the Scriptures is the ideal of teaching one, guiding them through instruction, guiding them through teaching. So the eunuch says, "I need someone to teach me. I need someone to guide me. Show me so I can come to have a knowledge of what Isaiah is writing of here in Isaiah 53, because that's what he was reading. So it's apparent, even from a casual conversation, that most people simply do not understand much of what they read in the Scriptures, since there are some things that are hard to understand in the Scriptures. And since there are some things hard to understand in the Scriptures, and it's apparent that many people in the religious world do not understand what they're reading, we see that in the masses of denominationalism today. Evidently, they don't understand what they're reading. Also, understanding the Scriptures is of great importance because people have to obey the Scriptures, remember. Matthew 7 and verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." But if you don't understand the Scriptures, how can you do the Father's will? See how important understanding the Scriptures is? We need to obey in order to purify our souls. We need to obey the truth. We need to obey the gospel. But if we don't understand the Scriptures, how can we come to obey? That's just how important an understanding of the Scriptures is. through the Scriptures we may know of the hope of the calling of God. In Ephesians 1 and verse 17, Paul praying for the Ephesian brethren said, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. But if we may know the hope of His calling, you see how important understanding of the Scripture is. How can we know the hope of His calling if we don't understand the Scriptures to begin with? And a failure to understand the Scripture simply alienates us or cuts us off from God. Ephesians 4 and in verse 17, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility or vanity of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. Alienated or cut off from the life that God provides because of ignorance, because of a lack of understanding of the Scriptures. A failure to understand the Scriptures causes one to simply be unwise, causes them to be foolish. Matthew 7 and verse 26, but everyone who hears these sayings of man and does them, hears these sayings of man and does not do them, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So a failure to understand makes one a foolish man. So we see in these things the great importance of understanding the Scriptures. So the rest of the time that we have left, I want for us to look at some of the reasons why some simply do not understand the Scriptures. And this ought to be of major importance to us, because one of these reasons we perhaps might mention tonight might be why we don't understand the Scriptures, or some portion of it. Let me suggest that one reason why some do not understand the Scriptures is that some things are simply hard to understand. They're difficult to understand. Does not mean that they cannot be understood, but sometimes people simply do not understand the Scriptures because they are difficult sometimes. They're simply hard to understand. One simply cannot scan the Scriptures and understand much of what they have to say. Nevertheless, if one really wants to understand the Scriptures, one really has a desire and aim and intent and purpose of understanding what he's reading or studying, God promises we can understand it. 2 Timothy 3 and in verse 15. In 2 Timothy 3 and in verse 15, Paul said, and that from childhood, Timothy, you have known the Holy Scriptures. You've come to understand the Holy Scriptures. And in John 7 and verse 17, Jesus said, if anyone wants to do His will, if anyone wills to do His will, the King James Version says. The word want or will there means if one has for his aim, his intent or purpose or his desire in life to know the will of God, he can know it. If anyone wants to do His will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. So if you have an aim or intent or purpose in knowing the will of God, you can come to an understanding of God's will. But if you have no aim or intent or purpose on coming to a proper understanding of what you're studying, if you have no desire to do so, you're simply not going to be able to learn. You're not going to be able to understand. Others do not understand the Scriptures very well simply because they don't want to understand. They're like the scribes and Pharisees of Jesus' day. Their eyes was closed and the ears were closed. Or they might be like those whom Peter mentions in 2 Peter 3 and in verse 5. For this they willfully forget. They deliberately forget. They purposely forget. That is, they don't want to remember. They don't want to understand. This is so tragic because there's no other source. There's no other source that they can go to by which they can learn the words of life, the words that bring life. In their ignorance, they're simply, again, alienated and cut off from God because of their lack of understanding. all because they will it so. Others do not understand the Scripture because they simply really do not study them. That is, they don't put forth the effort to understand. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and in verse 15, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God." The King James Version says, "Study to show yourself approved to God." But the word diligent is the idea. It's not the word study. Now that sounds good, study to be approved of God. But actually the word translated diligent here is the word that we defined in our study in 2 Peter earlier. We've mentioned it several times. Remember in 2 Peter 1 and verse 10? "Be even more diligent," Peter said, "to make your call and election sure." Or back in chapter 1 and verse 5 through 7, "Give all diligence, add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge," and so forth. Diligence, that's the same word. Remember what it meant? Do your best. Work your hardest. Put forth your best effort. Intensity of effort into something is what's under consideration. And that's why the King James Version translated the word study. Because when you study, you have to put intense effort into something. But the idea is be diligent. Do your very best. Work your hardest to present yourself approved to God, a worker that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, rightly dividing. That phrase in the Greek simply means, and almost literally means, cutting straight. Cutting straight. As if one would cut a straight line. Well, what does that mean in regard to the passage? Well, rightly dividing or cutting the word straight. Think about this. Dissecting the word. Dissecting the word because you're cutting straight. Literally, what's under consideration is the handling aright. That is, teaching it correctly. Expounding on it accurately. So that's what the young evangelist is called upon to do. Be diligent. Put forth your best effort. Do your best. Engage in great intensity of effort to show yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, expounding correctly, teaching accurately the word of truth. That's the idea. But some do not understand the Scriptures because they do not put forth their best effort. They don't study hard. They don't put forth some intensity of effort in it. They expect, perhaps, just to come to an understanding of it without any labor involved. If you've studied anything as a profession, you know there's great labor involved in educating yourself in that profession. And so it is in the Word of God as well. There's great intensity of effort that has to be put forth in order to understand some of the Scriptures because there are some things hard and difficult to understand. So we ought to give diligence to know and to come to understand the Scriptures. And sometimes we just have to meditate upon them. As the psalmist said in Psalm 1, in verse 1 and following, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." He ponders it day and night. He gives consideration to it. He reflects upon it. He ruminates like the old cow chewing the cud. Mulls it over in his mind. Is that what you do? It helps. It helps. When you ponder on the word that you've studied, you meditate upon it, you mull it over in your mind, you would be amazed at the insight that comes to you and helps you to be able to understand the Scriptures. That's why we're commanded to meditate upon it, to ponder upon it. Many others simply do not understand the Scriptures simply because they do not understand very much of anything they read, even of current events. You ask a group to read something and then give them a quick quiz, and you'll understand what I mean. I think it has a lot to do with their reading comprehension. I wasn't a very good student myself when I went to school, and so I perhaps could do better in comprehending what I read if I had put myself to that task at a younger age. But now, even being older, I've got to put myself to the task of comprehending what I read. I've got to develop myself to be able to understand more what I read. If it's something out of a magazine, if it's something out of the newspaper, it's something out of a religious journal, if it's something out of a page of the New Testament, I've got to give myself to it. Reading comprehension has a lot to do with whether you understand the Scriptures or not. So we may have to reschool ourselves or be schooled better in reading comprehension. My wife is in education, and that's one of the greatest, perhaps, shortfalls of many people who seek to pass tests that she has to administer. They simply do not understand what they're reading on the test, so they fail the test. Sometimes we don't understand what we're reading in the Scriptures because of our reading comprehension, and that can be helped and aided sometimes by the version of the Bible you read from. For example, the King James translation was written on a 12th grade reading level. Think about that. So if you're reading from the King James Version, that means if you were tested, do you test with a 12th grade reading level? You wouldn't want to give a King James Version to a 7th grade student to study from the Scriptures because they've not developed a 12th grade reading level yet, being in the 7th grade. The New American Standard Bible is written on the 11th grade reading level. I like the English Standard Version. It is a very good version, but it's written on the 10th grade reading level. The Christian Standard Bible is written on the 7th or 8th grade reading level. The New International Version is written on a 7th or 8th grade reading level. I use the New King James. One of the reasons I do, because I'm a poor reader, and it's written on the 7th grade reading level. So I can comprehend it and understand it better. So think about, sometimes if you're studying with someone, if they have poor reading ability, make sure you choose a translation that they'll more easily understand. Because sometimes our ability simply to read and comprehend has a lot to do with our ability to understand the Scriptures. Others do not understand the Scripture because some in whom they have confidence have told them things which simply do not agree with the Scriptures. And hence, the conflict leads to a failure to really understand the Scriptures. What I'm saying is some do not understand the Scriptures because perhaps their parents taught them this, and they taught them, well, this is what the Scripture says. But what they taught them actually conflicts with the Scripture. And so there comes to be a failure to understand the Scripture because they put a lot of value in what their parents perhaps said. But remember what Jesus said, Matthew 10 and verse 37, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." If someone whom you've had great confidence in tells you things that are contrary to the teaching of the Scriptures and has caused you an incorrect understanding of the Scriptures, then correct it. Remember, our love is to be for the Lord and for His Word and what it says, and not for what others say. Also, others do not understand the Scriptures because they perhaps read from a translation that is simply hard to understand. I mentioned this a few moments ago, but just let me give an example of the King James Version and the New King James. Moreover, brethren, in 2 Corinthians 8 in verse 1, we do you to wit of the grace of God. We do you to wit of the grace of God. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean? Well, you read from another translation, New King James Version, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God. You see how much clearer that is? How much easier it is to understand? 1 Corinthians 13 in verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. If you were studying someone, you'd have to explain what charity means. But in the newer versions, of course, it's translated love as it is in the New King James Version. So we just see a difference in the translations. And it makes it easier for us to understand. But on the other hand, make sure that you are reading and studying from a trustworthy translation. Don't choose a translation that is corrupted by the doctrines and teachings of men. For example, the Good News Translation. This is what the Good News Translation says in Acts 20 and verse 7. Note what it says. On Sunday evening we gathered together for the fellowship meal. Paul spoke to the people and kept on speaking until midnight, since he was going to leave the next day. You see how much false doctrine is in that? But yet, the Good News Translation. It is a translation of the Scripture, but it is completely corrupted and perverted. New King James Version. Now, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, they weren't partaking of a fellowship meal. In a sense, you could call it a fellowship meal, but not in the sense the translation rendered it. We indeed have fellowship with one another in partaking of the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. And that's what's under consideration. So we see the difference in the translation. And also make sure that you indeed choose an accurate translation. Choose a translation and make certain you do not choose a paraphrase, such as the Living Bible, because it's not a translation, it's simply a paraphrase. They simply took the American Standard Version, which is a good and accurate translation, but they paraphrased it to make it easier to read. And they corrupted the Scriptures. You want a translation of the Word and not a paraphrase of the Word. So some simply do not understand the Scriptures because they read from translations that are not accurate. They're perverted. People have twisted and distorted the Scriptures, as Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3 and in verse 16. And others do not understand the Scriptures because they simply use them improperly. They don't understand them because they misuse the Scriptures. Perhaps they don't consider, for example, the context of what they're studying from. For example, in Galatians 3 and verse 26, for you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. That really can't be understood accurately without looking at the context. When you look at the context and rightly divide it, that is, dissect it, expound upon it, or teach it accurately, you can teach this accurately. Going back to verse 24, therefore the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. I want you to note verse 24. There's two things under consideration there. There's the law, and then there's something mentioned as being the faith. So you've got the law of Moses on one hand, and you've got something called the faith on the other hand. That ought to do something to your man. That ought to make you say, well, is there a comparison being made there between the law and something called the faith? Indeed it is. The law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be, note this, justified by faith. Actually, the word by here comes from the Greek preposition ek, meaning out of. Out of faith. Out of a body of doctrine and teaching referred to as faith. Just as Jude 3. The faith. Just as Ephesians 4 and verse 5, one faith. One body of doctrine and teaching referred to as faith. So you have the faith and the law here in verse 24. The law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified out of a body of doctrine and teaching referred to as the faith, that we might be justified, pronounced righteous out of the gospel, because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. In it, remember, the righteousness of God is real, verse 17 of Romans 1. Verse 25, but after faith has come, and literally after the faith has come, it points back to the faith that was mentioned in verse 24. Out of that body of doctrine and teaching referred to as faith. After the faith has come, note this, we're no longer under a tutor. The point is, we're no longer under the law. For you're all sons of God, note this, through faith in Christ Jesus. Now there's our verse. But remember, I like the English Standard Translation better. For in Christ Jesus, you're all sons of God through the faith. And the word the is in the Greek. We become sons of God through the faith, through the gospel. Compared to becoming sons of God through the law. Because it is through the gospel that we're justified. It is through the gospel by which we attain righteousness. It is the power of God unto salvation. So some simply do not understand the scriptures because they don't keep the scriptures in context. Another example, and we noted this not long ago. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 17. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. Christ didn't send me to baptize. Well, the context shows that Paul did come to baptize. He came and he baptized Stephanas. And besides, he said, I do not know whether I baptize any other, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. So indeed, he did come to baptize, but not to baptize only. That's the point. So we have to keep things in the context, but some people don't understand because they simply do not look at the context. Others do not understand because they fail properly, you might say, to divide the scriptures. That is, they don't separate that from the Old Testament from the New Testament. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Is that a command to anyone today? But yet there's some who would believe that's what they ought to do. Noah saved himself and his family from the flood by making an ark of gopher wood. The doomsday preppers would save themselves from the coming destruction, whether it be nuclear destruction or the destruction of the world, by making a bomb shelter out in the mountains somewhere. They don't divide the scriptures accurately. This doesn't have anything to do with us and our being saved today. And it only had something to do with Noah being saved physically, not being saved spiritually. Others fail to understand the scriptures because, like Martin Luther, they add to the scriptures. Romans 3 and verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith, by an obedient faith. Martin Luther added the word alone, though, in order to teach salvation by faith alone or faith only. So some simply do not understand the scriptures because they add to it. Others fail to understand the scriptures because they fail to take all that is written on a given subject under consideration. Our denominational friends are good at this. They read such statements as Acts 16 and verse 31. Where Paul told the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And so they read that and they say, well, in order to be saved, all I got to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But in order to come to a proper understanding of the Scriptures, we must take all that the Scriptures say on the subject that we're studying. Because our denominational friends forget such statements as Acts 2 and verse 38. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for in order to receive the remission of sins. So here they're told to repent and be baptized. What about belief only? They forget such statements as Acts 22 and verse 16. that Ananias said to Saul of Tarsus, "Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." So some simply do not understand the Scriptures because they do not take all that is said on a given subject. And when you do not take all the Scriptures say on a given subject that you're studying, then you're going to draw erroneous conclusions. You're going to draw conclusions that are not in harmony with the teaching of the Word of God. Others misunderstand the Scripture because they misapply what is written. They might misapply what is written out of ignorance of the Scriptures, or they might misapply the Scriptures in order to teach something they want it to teach. James 1 and verse 27, "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble." And so our liberal brethren, what have they done? In order to support the ideal of building orphan homes, they come to this passage to justify their practice. When the command is to an individual, we can see that in the very verse, "and keep oneself unspotted from the world." So some misunderstand the Scriptures because they simply misapply what is written. Or they make it applicable to something that God never intended it to be applied to. Others fail to understand the Scripture because they simply do not know how the Scriptures authorize a thing. That is, through direct command, approved apostolic example, and necessary inference. They don't know how to make application of those principles. They want to justify themselves in something, but they can't find a direct command for it. They can't find an approved apostolic example for it. They can't find a necessary inference. That is, that the Scripture's necessary infers that it can be engaged in. And so many fail to understand the Scriptures because they can't make use of those principles. If time would allow us, we could go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul talks about partaking the Lord's Supper and show that all three of those principles are mentioned in that context of verse 20 through verse 26. Direct command, approved apostolic example, and necessary inference. So some simply do not understand the Scriptures because they can't make use of those principles. But we can all understand some things in the Scripture. You know that? We can all understand some things, and I suspect that we could understand other things on the same basis if we would simply take the Scripture at its own word. Ephesians 4 and in verse 4 says, "There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism." We can all understand that there is one God and one Christ. Can we not? We all understand that and agree upon that. Why can't we agree that there's only one faith? One body of doctrine and teaching referred to as the faith or the gospel, the Word of God. Why can't we all understand that there's just one body, and that body is the church, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23? Why can't we see that? I think we could if we wanted to. You see, I think we can understand the Scripture if we have a desire, an aim, an intent and purpose to do that. And if that's our aim and intent and purpose, to understand the Scripture, we'll be a workman who is approved in the sight of God. So how competent are you to understand the Scriptures? Do you understand Mark 16, 16? "He who believes and is baptized will be saved." That's easy to understand. One simply needs to believe the gospel and respond in obedience. Not just baptism by itself, but belief, repentance, confession, baptism, you become a child of God. You'll be saved. If you've done that in times past, do you understand the Scripture enough to know that if you have sin in your life as a child of God, you have to repent of that sin? You can't continue in it. You've got to confess and acknowledge that sin to God and pray that He will forgive you of it. And we'll pray with you and for you as we stand and sing the song selected.